This show proudly sponsored by Real American Freestyle Wrestling.
America is built on hard work and powered by American energy. Chevron has spent $44 billion with local businesses across all 50 states since 2022, fueling infrastructure and communities, all while strengthening local economies. Last year, Chevron increased U.S. production nearly 20%, powering communities and businesses from the heartlands to the coast. We're helping to fuel America's energy advantage, building a brighter future right here at home. Visit chevron.com/America to discover more.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to One Nation. I'm Brian Kilmeade. Hope you're having a great weekend. It's going to get a lot better. Look who we have on One Nation tonight. Doug Burgum, doing a great job as Secretary of the Interior, working on getting us energy independent and free of rare earth minerals from China. He's got the answers of when we can be free from them. Dr. George Shapiro, going over how to live longer and be healthier. He's got the answer to longevity. And Ainsley Earhart doesn't need it. She's ageless. She's got a big announcement personally. She's going to do the news duel for us. But first, the most impactful monologue in America. And may I say, fast. We begin tonight with culture shock. It's nothing new in America. When you come to this country for the last 250 years, a nation finding its way in the beginning and eventually setting its ways, it's traditional to be an individual immigrant and try to fit in to our country. After all, they're choosing to come to America, right? But not as of late. We're seeing more ethnic groups coming into this nation, and instead of acclimating or assimilating, they are using our social welfare system to set themselves up, never actually melting into the American pot. In many cases, you can say, not only are they not fitting in, they are not trying to. It is for a lack of effort. Just look at two of the biggest stories of this week. You got an Afghan, given a second chance at life, decided to take an American life instead, killing a National Guard member, Sarah Beckstrom, and shooting and wounding Andrew Wolf, battling for his life right now. Just two members of our military just doing their jobs.
We believe he was radicalized since he's been here in this country. We do believe it was through connections in his home community and state, and we're going to continue to talk to those who interacted with him. Anyone who has information on this needs to know that we will be coming after you, and we will bring you to justice.
Yeah, but we already brought him to our country. Why? Reports say the Afghan evacuee had drawn concerns for months in interviews and records showing him dropping out of work, slipping into long periods of silence, complaining a lot, taking unnecessary road trips ahead of the shooting, leaving his family behind. And there was also this shocking example of unadapting. Tens of thousands of Somalis settling into Minnesota, deciding, in many cases, to cheat the system instead of working in the system to obtain the American dream. Got 84 indicted, 70 of which were Somalis, 70 plus, I should say, have been convicted of massive fraud. We're talking about billions of dollars.
Federal investigations into massive fraud schemes in Minnesota are expanding. Today, the House Oversight Committee requested documents, records, and communications from Governor Tim Walz and State Attorney General Keith Ellison related to cases of fraud that federal prosecutors say was carried out almost exclusively by members of the Somali community to the tune of more than $1 billion.
Yeah, and now it's a federal investigation because the state won't do it. How could this get any worse? You could say incompetent. You could say a clueless governor. Who could have been our VP? He's claiming ignorance to the whole thing.
Do you take responsibility for failing to stop this fraud in your state?
Well, certainly I take responsibility for putting people in jail. Governors don't get to just talk theoretically. We have to solve problems. And I will note, it's not just Somalis. Minnesota is a generous state. Minnesota is a prosperous state, a well-run state. We're AAA bond rated, but that attracts criminals. Those people are going to jail. We're doing everything we can. But to demonize an entire community on the actions of a few, it's lazy.
It's lazy, lazy. And a congresswoman for the district letting this happen under her nose. Remember her?
I would say the president's obsession with me and the Somali community is really unhealthy. It's creepy. And I hope that he gets the help that he needs.
Really? So maybe it's Omar who will need help shortly, as at least one of the criminals has direct connections to her in one of the restaurants. The Somalis don't want to fit in here in many cases. They want to recreate what they left behind in their homeland. And the mayor of Dearborn, Michigan, is a hotbed for Somalis and residents identifying as Muslim. They even said as much.
I shouldn't put out a magazine that's in two languages. Why can't you speak English? Why are my videos subtitled in Arabic? But to me, it's like I actually disavow the use of the term the melting pot. I actually don't like it. Why? Because in a melting pot, when you're talking about like a soup, everything looks the same. We're the salad bowl. The lettuce is lettuce. The tomato is tomato. The cucumber is cucumber. And they all complement each other.
Wrong answer, wrong country. Well, I got a message for you. It doesn't matter if you like it. That's what America is. We are a melting pot. Land of the free. Because of the brave. It's kind of worked out well since, 250 years ago. And our president isn't standing for anything less.
I don't want them in our country. Their country's no good for a reason. Their country stinks. We're going to go the wrong way if we keep taking in garbage into our country. Ilhan Omar is garbage. She's garbage. Her friends are garbage.
The administration already freezing immigration applications from 19 countries deemed to be high risk for producing terrorists and other national security threats. Now, I know President Trump comes off abrasive often, but he's always direct. But that's what's needed right now after years of open borders and tolerating all this. He's protecting our country, not just from a safety perspective, but he's protecting the ideals of this great nation that was founded on those ideals. Now to someone not as abrasive, but who surely feels the same way as our commander-in-chief. He's the author of On Democracies and Death Cults. He is none other than Douglas Murray himself, a deep thinker who's written extensively about the immigration problem, because it's not just an American problem, it's a Western problem. Doug, welcome. Thanks so much for being here.
Great to be with you.
Your thoughts about what we've been through this week and the president's remarks.
Well, it's amazing because it's so similar to what I've been writing about for many years now, about what's happened in Europe and Australia and Canada, which is, you know, the immigration issue, as I've always said, relies on three things. It relies on numbers of people coming, the speed at which they come, and the places from which they come. No one knows exactly what the numbers are that you can assimilate or the speed. But the issue of the places people come from, that is a discussion which Europe has been incredibly slow about having. And America has also been slow about having that discussion. You know, we all know that there is going to be a difference depending on how people behave once they're in America, depending on the place they've come from. And if they've come from a war-torn, very violent country, it's likely they're going to bring some of that war-torn, violent stuff with them.
It's overrun with corruption.
Right. If you come from a country which believes in a kind of Protestant work ethic, you know, precision, and honesty and so on, and there are lots of societies which are based on that, then you'll bring that to America. If you come from a country in which corruption is endemic, like it is in Somalia, and you come to America, you come from a country which has no welfare or any provision for people, and you come to a country which has enormously generous welfare and provision for people. Why would we not expect that those thousands and thousands of people coming from Somalia might take advantage of that system?
So people in the past would not have said what you have said, because they say, well, you're going to be labeled a racist. But Nigeria is one of the most successful immigrant groups to come to our country.
Absolutely.
Right? Cubans are the second best immigration story, the first with the pilgrims.
Right.
And I'm going to give you the Cubans after that. It doesn't matter the color of your skin.
Yeah.
It's what you plan on doing and why you're coming. Is there a way to reestablish that someone wants to be an American before they come to America?
Well, you know, it's fascinating watching some of the local politicians in Minnesota, particularly the mayor, try to sort of hedge around this, say things like, oh, this is racist, this is terrible talk. You know, they should just take a step back and think, how about I say, as the mayor of the city, we don't want people to come in and steal from the American taxpayer. If you do it, we don't want you here. How about that? You can take the whole issue of race out and you could actually address the problem. This is an issue of billions of dollars of American taxpayers' money being looted from the American taxpayer. And in some cases, it seems, being sent not just back to Somalia, but being sent to groups like Al-Shabaab, the terrorist group which is linked to Al-Qaeda in Somalia.
Right.
Why is American taxpayer money going to a terrorist group in Africa.
And you know the story in America. When you came here, you had no safety net. You had to prove that you had a job, you had a skill, and somewhere to stay. And when you didn't, they put you back on the boat. Now, when you get here, we give you all these things, and yet, in many cases, they're not grateful. But it's a bigger story. Marco Rubio said this. Secretary of State ordered American diplomats in Europe and Canada and Australia and New Zealand to press their host countries to restrict most immigrants and to file reports if the governments appear to be overly supportive of immigrants, according to documents sent to U.S. embassies and consulates. He's trying to say, straighten out your act. Take some pride in your culture. Yeah. Decide who comes in and out. Stop being politically correct.
Absolutely. I mean, it's high time that this was said. Some of us have been saying it for a long time. I'm really glad that Secretary Rubio and others in this administration are saying this and saying this to their European counterparts. You know, Europe is a pretty amazing continent. It has produced some of the greatest culture, innovation and much more in world history. But yet Europe is run by leaders who don't mind having open borders, it seems. They don't seem to mind that millions of people have come into Europe in recent years who, among other things, take more money from the state in welfare than they will ever put in taxation. And you just have to work, you know, again, take the cultural issue out of it. Take out of the fact that you know, nobody in Europe now thinks that it's a good idea to bring in thousands of Somalis into Europe. Because what do you get? Gang warfare, violence, looting, and much more. That's not to say all of the Somalis, of course, but as I say, they've come from a very violent society, and they bring a lot of that violence to Europe. The European leaders don't even look at it on a cultural level, and they don't even look at it on a financial level. And I would just say to them, just sit back and say, what are these people actually bringing to our society? And if they could tell me, I'm all ears.
But in the past, they said, that's an intolerance. How dare you look down at people? Just welcome them in. And you've gotten pressure from the popes in the past to say that, let everybody in. But people, I don't think there's anything wrong with being your nation first.
No,
how can you help the country?
Look, if a load of Welsh people suddenly decided to move to Somalia and started looting Somali national funds and bringing their Welsh culture into Somalia, I think people in Somalia would say, you know, we're Somali, we're our own country, we don't want this.
Right.
Well, it's a lot harder the other way around, and the other way around is what we've all had to put up with.
So here's where I get hopeful, but I'm looking on the outside. You go to Europe all the time. I'm seeing the German culture change and realizing what a mistake Angela Merkel make. I see some pushback in the UK and a sense of pride. I see some of them standing up, and they're not getting $1,000 a day, standing up for their country and wanting the British culture back. Am I wrong to see hope there?
Absolutely right to see some hope. There's been an issue very similar to this in the UK in recent months. Migrants, illegal migrants who've broken into the country, been put up in hotels that cost hundreds of dollars a night. Most British taxpayers cannot afford to stay in a hotel and live in a hotel that costs hundreds of dollars a night for one night, let alone in perpetuity. And so they're starting to notice that. And they're thinking, hang on, these guys are coming in, always guys, by the way, and they're taking from the system, and we don't like it. Take the cultural stuff aside for a moment. Just on an economic level, it makes no sense to do this. It's suicidal. Well past time it stops.
And I hate to say it, but if you want to say if things start turning around, they're going to have to do the worst thing possible. Credit Trump.
You know, you've just said that is an impossibility for European leaders. They'd rather die than do that.
You'll have to read it in your next book. Douglas Murray, thanks so much. Great to see you, sir. He flew in all the way from England just to be on the show. Hey, it's time to tackle America's energy challenge. Utility costs continue to weigh heavy on families. New federal data showing natural gas prices could be up 1% to an average of $654 this winter. And electricity is up about 4%. It's over $1,000. But across the country, the race to build the next gen of AI data centers is accelerating, bringing jobs and investment. Well, that's good, right? But it's also raising questions about how we are going to power them. Listen to one concerned citizen.
It's all pie in the sky. It's not what they say it is. All these big developers that want to come in and build these data centers are coming in with all these lucrative things, trying to lure the cities to give them the zoning or the counties and promise water, promise electricity. I mean, it is the biggest smoke and mirror thing you've ever seen in your life.
Joining me now is the former North Dakota governor, turned interior secretary, who's also got in his portfolio energy and in his resume. We don't have enough time in the show to go through it all. But, Mr. Secretary, great to see you. I know you have a passion for energy and a knowledge on it. Do you understand, first and foremost, what she was concerned about, that young lady in the middle of that field?
I do understand those concerns, and this is, again, going to be a big issue in the 2026 elections, is the affordability of energy prices, including electricity. But I tell you, we've been looking hard. Chris Wright, our great Secretary of Energy, myself, our teams. Newsflash, there is no correlation between data centers growing in states and higher electric prices. In fact, in many states, it's actually the opposite. States like Texas, who've added over 100 data centers in the last 5 years, have seen electric prices go down. North Dakota's had the biggest increase in electricity demand in the last 5 years of any state in the country on a percentage basis, and electric prices are among the absolute lowest in the country. So what's driving it? Some of the states that are blaming, and some of even the utilities are blaming data centers, when in fact they shut down reliable, dispatchable, dependable, affordable, secure baseload and replaced it with intermittent, unreliable, highly subsidized sources of electricity, including wind and solar. And when you have wind and solar, it only works part of the time. That's why they call it intermittent. When the sun goes down, there's no power generation. You've got to have something else. So you need to have the old system that you had, the base load. If you've got a lot of, the more renewables you add, the more intermittent renewables that you add, then the more reason that you've got to have gas plants to cover the peaks and the valleys, particularly at night when the sun's not shining and the wind's not blowing. And so that drives up the cost. Are the policy decisions. Policies drive, right, drive pricing, and politicians drive those policies. And so we've got a divide in our country. Red states have got low electric prices, blue states high. Just for gas and electricity heading into this year, Brian, it's about $1,000 per family difference between what those policy difference make. At the extreme, the reddest red state and the bluest blue state, it's $4,000 of difference on energy prices for Americans based on the policy decisions of those states.
So when you look right now, if people are using electric to heat their house or to heat their oven, it's more expensive than it would be for natural gas, correct?
Absolutely it would. In some of these states, like in New England, that have got the highest electric prices in the country, have been the ones that have been blocking natural gas coming from Pennsylvania next door. Some of the lowest gas prices in the world are coming out of Pennsylvania. We've got Europeans that are happy to buy Pennsylvania gas by the ship. And we've got states next door like New York that won't take it on a pipeline that just crosses an imaginary line called that state border.
So I want to talk about rare earth because it matters so much to the future of our country. China, they say, controls 90% of it. Mr. Secretary, what have you done to try to get control of something so necessary for our military and to run everything from our iPhones to our grids?
Well, this has been an important topic for the administration since President Trump took office. And, of course, China escalated last spring when they were going to put export controls on magnets. They escalated again in October this year, where they said, for the whole world, every company, every democracy, just fill out this form. We'll still send you the rare earth minerals. But, by the way, that was the largest intelligence gathering attempt ever made by a country on the rest of the free world. Thanks to President Trump and the actions taken, we've signed up now six countries as part of a club of nations that have agreed to make sure that those nations, between us, we can trade rare earth minerals back and forth. We can support each other in developing processing. We can break the stranglehold that China has. There'll be more countries that are signing up, but everybody from Japan, Korea, Saudi Arabia, Australia was the first one. And the United States itself, we're getting back in the mining business and the refining business in this country. We've got to mine, baby, mine, not just drill, baby, drill. If we don't have a secure supply chain of rare earth minerals, it affects every job, every company, every industry.
Yeah, we'll be talking about China a little bit later. So how soon until we're free of having to buy rare earth from China?
Well, this is going to be a multi-year process, but we're permitting as quickly as we can. We've made a big step. The Department of War, this is how important is security, has made equity investments in mining companies to help secure. And we've got support through the One Big Beautiful Bill to start doing stockpiling of these rare earth minerals here. This is the same way we've always had a strategic petroleum reserve. We need to have strategic reserves of these rare earth minerals for both peacetime and for war.
Right. So hopefully next couple of years we'll realize we're going to have to create our own and have our own alliances. Can't depend on China. We seem to be slow to learn that. Mr. Secretary Doug Burgum, you're doing a great job. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.
All right. And he's loving every second. Meanwhile, we have been telling you about for a while about, and we just talked about it now, how real the threat of China is. But you won't believe what they've already been doing to infiltrate our technology and our military. The authors of The Great Heist, Inside China's Epic Campaign to Steal America's Secrets, are next. And still to come, Americans are focusing on longevity like never before. The secrets to living longer and healthier with Dr. George Shapiro. And be sure to catch me on Valentine's Day on streaming on Fox Nation, History, Liberty, and Laughs, BrianKilmeade.com. Don't move.
Jorge.
With the world's best self-driving, to me, right now, this seems game, set, match, how it appears right now. I could be wrong, but it appears to be the case that Tesla is vastly ahead of everyone.
You should say was. That's exactly why China wanted that technology. Beijing stole the brains, the battery, and the manufacturing engine behind Elon Musk's electric vehicle empire, especially the self-driving. They're taking America's brightest minds, our technologies, our breakthroughs, and using them to leapfrog the American people, us. But this isn't just another random theft. China didn't innovate. It scaled espionage into a national strategy to become a global power. Here to explain, co-authors of the best-selling book, The Great American Heist, China's Epic Campaign to Steal America's Secrets, that is really turning heads. Welcome to both of you. We have former acting director of Defense Intelligence Agency David Shedd and intel analyst Andrew Badger. Together, they put together this book. David, let me start with you. How bad is it?
It's horrific. The fact is that it's estimated to be somewhere upwards of $600 billion a year in which the heist is taking place of our intellectual property, our know-how that contributes to China's growth that's been exponential over the last 25 years.
So we've heard some of this before. When did it start?
It really took off in 2015, where China launched a master plan called Made in China 2025. So this was their industrial plan to leapfrog America and conquer these emerging technologies. And now we fast forward to 2025, they have achieved it. They're dominating critical technologies like hypersonics, aerospace, AI, and they've left us in the dust while we've been watching.
So what have they taken? They've taken our F-35, you said. What else have they taken?
So the F-35 is a great example. They've created the FC-31, which is a replica of the F-35, costing Northrop Grumman well over $100 million in order to do the remedies to it. But they've taken the linings from the Coca-Cola cans, which has applications, for example, in missile fuel storage. But they've also taken everything in the consumer area as well, in terms of building up their economy at a rate that is unprecedented in the history of mankind.
So here's an example from your book. Beijing didn't just build factories. It built an entire ecosystem for harvesting knowledge on a large scale, which what began with reverse engineering consumer electronics has evolved into the systematic theft of military designs, AI source codes, next generation energy solutions, and the architecture of advanced microelectronics. Also, hypersonics, right, David?
Exactly. Hypersonic technology. So these are the missiles that move Mach 5, Mach 7. They're hard to shoot down with air defense missiles. And China has now leapfrogged America, dominated this technology. And the irony is that they stole this from our own scientists. It was called the Los Alamos Club. So 160 scientists who worked at Los Alamos, our most advanced precious secrets in America, they went back to China and helped build China's hypersonic program.
American scientists?
They were Chinese American scientists. They went back to China, and then they recruited former scientists, former research fellows at Los Alamos to go back to China and help them build the program. And now China has the most advanced hypersonic missiles in the world, even more than America.
And that's an example of where it's really the expertise that they took back. They took wind tunneling expertise. They took high materials at high heat and rate of speed in terms of the application.
Where were we on this? You were in the CIA for 33 years. Did you know this was going on?
Yes, parts of it. But however, the U.S. government has been somewhat asleep to the fact that joint research and joint efforts in terms of trying to build this out was not going to have the implications that it's currently having in terms of the exponential growth by China that went from a $1.3 trillion economy in gross domestic product 25 years ago to $17 trillion today.
So it's pretty amazing, Andrew, because now we have TikTok out there. And there's actually a debate in this country of whether we should keep TikTok. Should we be keeping TikTok?
I mean, look, there's a balance we have to be made with protecting freedom of speech. But the fact is, a communist party, an autocratic regime, has 1.6 billion users of TikTok. So they can sweep up all of that data and then use that into their targeting system to go after our state secrets.
Are they doing that?
They already are. They've also stolen Equifax financial information from the United States. I believe half of every adult American had their data. They've stolen healthcare data from Anthem, from hotels like Marriott. And what they're doing is they're building this massive web of data and then using that to fuel their AI machines, but also to steal our secrets.
And the more nefarious aspect of TikTok is that it results in influence operation. That is, what you view and what you click on moves to the top based on what the Chinese Communist Party wants you to see and act
on. And we're seeing with this Palestinian situation, pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel, anti-Taiwan. So they have an ultimate plan. They've infiltrated things like our infrastructure, our water, our gas, our satellites. If they want to move on Taiwan, you think they have a plan?
They absolutely have a plan.
What is it? And it's kind of a shock and awe, you say.
It's a shock and awe, and it's related to having the embeds already in place that are dormant today, but that can be turned on, and then infiltrate the designs into the cyber programs in order to actually bring down our water systems, our electrical grid, and even into space in terms of our satellite systems where GPS resides and the rest.
And the way they would do it is theoretically, they'd hit all that, then they'd take Taiwan, would be knocked off our equilibrium, maybe unable to respond.
Right. The malware is already then in place, and it's a matter of turning the switch on.
And it's there right now. Lastly, what should we do about it? Have you alerted the government? I mean, we have a China Select Intelligence Committee. Have you told them about this? What have they said about your book?
Exactly. Fortunately, the Trump administration is starting to prioritize this, but we need a whole of society approach to counter this threat. We need to view economic security as national security, and we need the private and public sectors to start taking this threat seriously together. And finally, we need a bipartisan approach. We need Democrats to join with Republicans. We need to revitalize things like the China Initiative, a DOJ task force to go after this threat with much more teeth.
And with a lot more urgency.
And how about, are we that stupid? Are we going to leave the back door open for AI, too?
Possibly. And again, when you think about AI and the greed that comes with in terms of selling chips to China, thinking that somehow you won't experience what Elon Musk experienced with the thumb drive that took out $1 billion worth of source code for the driverless car that now is in BYD, the number one EV producer in the world,
right,
is that you are either naive or you have hubris to the point that you think you can survive that.
Well, amazing, guys. Congratulations. It's called The Great Heist, the China's epic campaign to steal America's secrets. And they're well on their way. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
All right. America is in its wellness era, right? Coming up next, we're going to reveal the hottest longevity breakthroughs that will make your life longer and better. Dr. George Shapiro coming your way. Don't move. You're watching One Nation.
The Fox Nation Holiday Sale is happening now.
Merry Christmas to one and all.
Sign up today and you'll get all of Fox Nation's unmissable content for only $2.99 a month.
Patrick, now it is time for you to return home.
The holy man is back.
Now Jesus has to be stopped.
And coming soon, new exclusive series.
David, step forward to show God is with us.
This offer won't last long.
Each warrior has something to prove and everything to fight for.
Get Fox Nation for only $2.99 a month. Sign up today.
I'm Allison Lundberg.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Marianne Rafferty in Los Angeles. We're following breaking news out of Asia, where Thailand just launched airstrikes against Cambodia. This new wave of fighting comes just months after the two sides agreed to pause fighting in a peace plan brokered by President Trump. But that pact was suspended earlier this month between the Southeast Asian neighbors. Thailand says this new attack is in retaliation for a deadly Cambodian strike on Monday. One Thai soldier was killed. Two others were hurt. And the Supreme Court is set to hear a major case testing presidential power in the coming hours. The case centers on whether President Trump lawfully fired Federal Trade Commission member Rebecca Slaughter before her term ended. Justices will consider overturning a 90-year-old precedent that protects leaders of independent agencies from removal without cause. I'm Marianne Rafferty. Now back to life, liberty, and LaVette.
So the quest to extend the quality and length of your life, isn't that something we're all interested in? It is a hot topic around the nation and on One Nation. We've told you a lot about this already. Gary Brecko is on with us. He told us we need to get to back to the basics. He talked about sunlight. He talked about grounding, breath work, whole food diet. Dr. Peter Attia was in the studio. He said don't ever underestimate the power of exercise. He talked a lot about free weights and a lot of other things. Dr. Robert Hariri said stem cell exhaustion is one of the key components to the aging process, but you can replace them. You can maximize your organ and tissue function, which will contribute to extending your life. And perhaps the most extreme example, you got Brian Johnson. He's a little different. The man who wants to live forever. He told us, among other things, to make sleep your number one priority, and for a morning show guy, that didn't go too well. Now joining us now is the man who says you should be the CEO of your own health, Dr. George Shapiro, cardiologist and longevity physician. Dr. Shapiro, you were treating people who were sick. You were in the hospital. You had a thriving practice. And then suddenly you realize you're not on the right end of medicine. What happened, and what did you do?
You know, Brian, as a cardiologist and longevity physician for 35 years, I've been pioneering all this long before it came to fruition right now. One of the biggest breakthroughs is we can now early detect disease. We can detect disease using new innovative technologies with artificial intelligence that we weren't doing before.
Let's take a look at some of the pictures that you brought, some of these heart scans.
All right, so when you take a look at these scans, this is an inside of your coronary artery. For the first time in 50 years, we can now look inside the coronary artery and identify the type of plaque. This you can see 10 to 20 years before an event. And once you see this, you can now reverse it, and you can melt away the yellow and the red plaque.
Right. Also, when you talk about wearables.
It's not just about checking how many steps you're doing. It's changed now. Now we have 24/7 evaluations looking at your metabolism. Your metabolism is how your body's working, your energy. We can now measure whether you're burning fat, burning muscle. We can look at your heart rate variability. We can look at glucose. You know, real time.
Florida is moving ahead when it comes to stem cells. First off, stem cells, what are the benefit? Are you talking about using our own stem cells, or are there other ways to get them?
Well, let's just break it down. And when we're born, we have billions of stem cells. Every year, we lose 10% of our stem cells. As we age, we're losing stem cells on a daily basis. So by the time we're 60 years old, we only have 18% of our stem cells that we're born with left. And what we'd like to do is replace those stem cells. People would travel to Panama,
and
Antigua, all across the world to get stem cells. But now Florida changed its law as of July 1st. You can now get stem cells in Florida that's tightly regulated.
Now, would I do that if I had an injury, or do I do that just because I want to feel better?
It's pain, arthritis, and inflammation, and wound care.
But you could actually reverse the aging process. That's what you guys are examining?
What we're finding out is when we replace these stem cells, we can measure your biological age looking at DNA. And when we look at your DNA, your methylation patterns, we can detect that we can slow down the pace of aging and actually reverse aging with stem cell infusions. That we've already seen this in data that we've collected.
Dr. George Shapiro, thanks so much. Appreciate it. It's exciting stuff, and you're at the precipice of innovation, and hopefully the rest of the country follows Florida. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
They'll move. Next, only on One Nation, Ainsley Earhart is here with the news duel. Don't show it. It is all top secret. Look at those graphics.
This girl is on fire. This girl is on fire. She's walking on fire.
Rough, dry eye?
Here we go. It's time now for the Fox News News Duel, the hottest stories everyone's talking about, just not on television. Joining us now, we are privileged to have my co-host on Fox and Friends herself with a special announcement at the end, Ainsley Earhart.
Thank
Don't
you.
Give away your big announcement.
Okay.
I'm so honored.
Like you do. We do a tease in the morning, and he can't help it. He gives it away before the commercial break.
I'm excited. Hey, let's start. Cue the music. Let's go. Here's the first story I want to talk about, and it's the 44th President of the United States. He was at the Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art, and he opened it up for questions, at which time he got a question about his marriage. And you know what? I don't think things are going well. Watch.
Do you have any marriage advice for
us? Oh, Lord. Well, let me say this. Michelle has all kinds of marriage advice. Michelle says this a lot on TV all the time. And at some point, I say to her, can't you just say, like, also, I'm cute?
Yeah.
And, like, you really adore me? Instead of just talking about how hard it is.
Am I right? This is all the time
she does talk about that all the time. I think she's trying to be relatable, but at some point, enough. Like, we have to start hearing what she loves about her marriage.
Could you imagine if you were doing that with Sean? Oh, don't bring up Sean
Hannity. Right.
There you go again.
Well, they've been married for a long time, so a lot of people do say this.
Roll your eyes. Next.
Okay, the next one is these young women,
scary.
Y'all, they're dropping thousands of dollars to have this gruesome rib removal surgery because they want to be skinny. It gives them a tiny little waist. They're calling it they thought the Ozempic body was bad, Brian, but this is worse. Look at her before and after. She was normal.
What is good about that?
Does that look good? It looks like a doll.
Doctors have taken off the 11th and 12th vertebrae, which means your liver and your kidneys have no protection.
Okay, so I talked to someone right before this segment.
You did research?
I said, do you know anyone who's done this? And she said, yes, one of her clients. And she said it took like 6 months before she could cough. Before she could really be comfortable.
So don't do this,
before
children.
She could go to the bathroom, I was like, what does that mean? How does she do that? She said, I didn't ask any questions, but she's like a model, and she wanted to be super skinny. This is ridiculous. Men don't like that. I'm sorry.
Listen, and you speak for all men.
I do.
You do. Next one, do this one again, would you?
Okay, I will. There's a survey that parents are hiding. They're using decoy gifts to keep Christmas morning a surprise for their children because children are going around the house and they're looking in the closets. 56% say the closet's their hiding place, and then 54% say bedrooms. And 63%, Brian, of parents disguise their presents to avoid detection. Do you do this?
Where do you fit in this scenario?
I hide everything in my closet.
Right. Everything's in your closet.
Yeah, I have some of my dresses that are long. Everything's on the shelves under there.
And let's be honest, the rest is up to Santa. We can't do everything.
Right. Santa brings the majority of it.
All right. You know I like animal stories, and here's another one.
This one cracks me.
Raccoons are usually dangerous, but not when they're drunk. You have a raccoon break into a liquor store, drink $250 worth of various liquors, and then pass out, spread eagle, right in the bathroom. Has this ever happened to you, Ainsley?
No, but it happened to every guy on the SAE hall at the University of South Carolina.
Oh, really?
This is what the fraternity house looks like.
They're like disjointed.
Yeah.
Their legs just
cute is that little guy?
Right. And I don't think he probably survived.
Did he have a headache the next day?
Well, he wouldn't stay for questioning. but so far, just if this has happened to you, please write us. OneNation@Fox.com. Next, here's a story. You got to know. To be elected, you got to do something different. To stand out and want to win, you got to stand out and do something different. How about twerking? You're looking at Sheree Smith. She announced she's running for Congress in North Carolina, and this is how she's doing it. Does she have your vote, Ainsley?
Okay, wait a minute. Wait for it.
What
she's
going
to twerk. Okay, first of all.
Isn't that twerk?
A twerk's like when they shake their booty. Okay,
oh, no.
This is amazing. I love watching this. Okay, two schools of thought here. Like, yeah, politics have changed. I don't think Nancy Reagan would have done this. Or Nancy Pelosi. But I just can't stop watching.
Right, so you might vote for her.
I might vote for her.
Because
no, I vote depending on their beliefs and what their politics are.
Okay,
yes.
Okay, I don't.
But I'm interested. Now I want to hear what her platform is.
I guess if she has time, but she's dancing a lot. So listen, lower the music for a second. A really big announcement. The Life of Jesus is now a podcast, multiple episodes, and I'm looking right here at the host, the narrator. Tell me about it.
So they came to me and they said, do you want to narrate the life of Jesus? I said, yes.
You didn't say how much?
Jesus.
It's free.
Oh, okay.
Well, I make a salary. So it's, you know, it's all, anyway, I'm so excited about this. It's 52 episodes. They're about 30 minutes each. So I couldn't sleep the other night. So I listened to one of the episodes and it's really nice because there are 100 actors, more than 100 actors. And some of them, you know, your good friend, Neil McDonough, he plays Jesus and he's been in everything from, you know, Tulsa King to Desperate Housewives, but he plays Jesus here and he's a strong Christian. You want to listen?
Can we?
We have a soundbite. Yeah.
Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
It still looks great.
What a great voice of God.
He said it was his most important role, right?
Yes, he did. You know what I love about him? Because we interviewed him on Fox and Friends, and I did some research on him to learn really how to pronounce the last name when I had to do this.
And he didn't have his ribs removed. We know that.
He did not have his ribs removed. And he does not kiss anyone on camera. He's been in everything.
Right.
And he doesn't kiss anyone on camera because he's married. And as a Christian, he only wants to kiss his wife, even though it's acting. And so sometimes she'll star with him, and he finally gets to do the real kiss.
So when she starts with him, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. I
love that.
Right.
I respect that because it would be very hard for me if I had to watch Sean in a movie making out with another girl.
But if he says someone's got to pay the bills, honey, that would be a
I would say become a news anchor.
All right. That's good. There's no kissing at the end of our show.
Nope.
Don't forget to follow me on social media, Rumble, Instagram, X, and Facebook. Be sure to join the Culper Club. It's exclusive. Ainsley might join soon. More One Nation in a moment.
Beer is cheap, man is cold.
All right, before we go, Friday's star-studded World Cup draw, watched by billions of people around the world, was embraced by President Trump, and it was a true spectacle. There's no question, June and July, summer, this summer, soccer will own this country and clearly convert some soccer, non-soccer fans and make them supporters. But for soccer to go from major sport to must-watch status, one thing has to happen. The U.S. team has to shine. Think about it. Year 250, red, white, and blue, 4th of July, our birthday, all celebrated while the U.S. team tries to do what they have never done before, and that's get to a Final Four. They've never made it even past the quarterfinals. Only once in history did they get there. That's not good enough in this country. America can't understand not being the best, or at least having a chance to be the best, especially with a successful pro league, millions playing around the nation. We demand results. This team has got talent. They got experience. Now they got coaching to get over the hump. They got to decide to win for something beyond their careers. They have to play like they want to win for, drum roll please, their country. Then their country will be there for them every step of the way and elevate the sport to major status once and for all. By the way, you can catch the coverage, all the coverage, 100-plus games on FIFA right here on Fox. That's it for us tonight. Be sure to check out my radio show in a few hours from 9 to noon, BrianKilmeadShow.com, if you're not in the family of affiliates. Of course, Fox and Friends in a few hours. I'm just going to jump in the shower and just go downstairs to the studio. As always, two messages. Stay within yourself and keep it right here on Fox News. When it comes back around, worked all week, it's time to play. Gonna get a little bit sideways.
This is Ainsley Earhart. Thank you for joining me for the 52-episode podcast series, The Life of Jesus.
A listening experience that will provide hope, comfort, and understanding of the greatest story ever told. Listen and follow now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.